Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So as long as we are just segregating waste and continuing to throw out stuff that we don't want to use anymore, we are actually not doing any good. So ideally, I would want to tell people, just don't buy unless you really need it. And if you have to buy, look at other alternatives where we don't consume virgin resources. Well, it all sounds fine, but I also knew that nobody would take me seriously because it's a very, very idealistic way of living. That's when the idea of upcycling struck me, because that is actually nothing but the traditional Indian lifestyle where we constantly repurpose material that we don't need.
Have you heard about the concept of upcycling? Stay tuned to find out more. Hello and welcome to the Mission Chunya podcast. I am Girish Shivakumar. Regular listeners of the podcast would probably recognize the name Shailaja Rangarajan. Yes, Professor Jaideep Prabhu spoke about Shailaja Rangarajan on the episode Do Better With Less. He has in fact featured her story in his latest book. So, if you haven't heard that episode, please check that episode. Shailaja Rangarajan runs the startup Reimagined. It is built on the principle of upcycling. Upcycling, for many of you who haven't heard it, is basically converting or creating products from recycled materials. The concept is probably in its early days in India, but globally the concept is very well adopted, and there are a lot of companies who are creating value products or creating value propositions from recycled materials. It is essential towards a circular economy. So on this episode, I have a chat with Shailaja Rangarajan, asking her about her story and how she goes about running the business. So let's listen in to what she had to say. Hello, Shailaja. Welcome to the Mission Chunya podcast.
Thank you, Girish.
Reimagined is an interesting company, and it's an interesting concept that you're trying to promote. To begin with, can you give us a brief background about how you ended up doing this? Or what was your story so far until you started Reimagined?
Reimagine actually is an outcome of my earlier voluntary work. So before I got involved with anything to do with waste, I was part of the corporate industry working as a business process consultant. Around 7-8 years ago in our apartment complex, a team of us, we thought, why don't we look at waste segregation and handling of waste in-house? So this was at a time when people were just waking up to the concept of waste, even in Bangalore. So we were 4 volunteers who said, okay, we will take it upon ourselves to figure out what waste management process can be set up in our apartment complex. So this involved a lot of self-reading and self-learning as well through trial and error when we put in a waste management process in place. It was like segregation of waste, in-house composting of waste, and partnering with a responsible vendor who can handle our waste, etc. And as I started learning more and more about it, and this also took me beyond the 4 walls of my apartment complex. And then I started doing voluntary work over the weekends, trying to help other apartment complexes also handle their waste, training the housekeeping staff, creating more awareness about waste and everything. Then this went beyond, and then I started collaborating with BBMP to set up the required infrastructure and also for the pickup process of waste from a door-to-door angle. So as and when I got involved and literally started getting my hands dirty, I was also walking through mounds of garbage and landfills and the stink and the leach, and everything was kind of hitting me in my face. Then I started thinking, how come we are having this problem now? I never, as a kid, remembered seeing this kind of waste. That was when it was a wake-up call for me. Here I'm going about telling people, segregate waste, handle your waste responsibly and all. But is that enough? Are we not slowly killing the environment? And the reason was pretty, it's very simple. Because of our consumption lifestyle, it all zeroed in on that. The way we consume, because of excess affordability, the use and throw culture has kind of set in unknowingly. And aspirational living also is now a way of life for us, where we want more and the latest of everything. Then I told myself, so as long as we are just segregating waste and continuing to throw out stuff that we don't want to use anymore, we are actually not doing any good. So ideally, I would want to tell people, just don't buy unless you really need it. And if you have to buy, look at other alternatives where we don't consume virgin resources. Well, it all sounds fine, but I also knew that nobody would take me seriously because it's a very, very idealistic way of living. That's when the idea of upcycling struck me, because that is actually nothing but the traditional Indian lifestyle where we constantly repurpose material that we don't need. And instead of just going and buying stuff that we need, we see, okay, can we figure out something or figure out a way of reusing something that we already have in the house instead of going and buying something. And that is what is upcycling, a phrase that has been coined by the West, but has been an intrinsic Indian lifestyle. And from that thought was how Reimagined came into being, where it was launched 3 years ago as a platform to promote upcycling as part of mainstream everyday consumption.
It is an interesting angle. I'm sure, like, even I've spoken to a lot of people, and I also usually tend to tell them that don't buy stuff unless you really need them. The global economy is generally booming, so people just tend to buy stuff, and it tends to be a consumer-driven economy. In this process, I am sure even a lot of people don't realize that they are having a negative impact on the ecological footprint. It is well said that how you conceptualize this idea. So how did you go about in getting the first phase of this project started?
So when Reimagined was launched, it was first launched merely as a marketplace. Because as a concept, though it is very old, but awareness and acceptability was still a question mark. So that's how I launched Reimagined as a marketplace, where I started reselling products made by other individuals. So even these individuals, they were all like doing work at on a limited scope as like from their homes. But that was enough for me to reach out to the market and see how are people even reacting to something which is created from waste. So the moment you look at a product, you would not know that it is an upcycled product. So yeah, a bottle decoupage, you can make out, oh, it is actually made from bottle because the bottle just undergoes a design change. But you still can make out it's a glass bottle. So that also gave me an idea what people might accept, what people look for, and the quality and finish, etc. So from a marketplace, I went on to become a own Reimagined label of products platform. This again has been a slow journey in the last 1.5 years, I would say. So it was like everything went through a prototyping phase, where first I understood what even goes into the production of a product. What even goes into sourcing of waste? What even goes into quality of the material that is used? What even goes to a quality check of the finished product? So through prototyping, I also learned what will work, what will not work. And from there, I launched the own production unit of Reimagined, which was also again a coincidence. I was actually contemplating, okay, for me to have full control over quality, for me to have full control over design, for me to have complete control over costing, there is no alternative but to set up my own production unit. But then, where do I do it? How do I do it? It was around the same time that one of my friends in Kolkata, she reached out to me. She happens to be an artist, and she also teaches in a school for special kids. So this is a school that is run mostly for free for these children because they come from extremely poor backgrounds. So she would see the mothers coming with the children and they would wait outside for those 3-4 hours while the children are having their classes. And she realized that even a small augmentation of their income will make a huge difference to them. So it was around the same time she reached out to me saying, can we do something for these mothers? They don't have any skill sets, but is there a way that we can look at creating some source of livelihood for them? So it was a matter of connecting the dots. I said, fine, let's give it a shot. We started with that first team of mothers where we trained them and set up our own production unit. So today now, majority of our sales are our own label where we work with different types of waste. And now we have a complete range of products that people can use for their day-to-day living. So that's the evolution of Reimagine, I would say, in the last 3 years.
I will come back to the point on how you're changing, how you're adding value to the social side of things.
Mm-hmm.
On this interesting thing of like changing the mindset of people, how tough has it been to change a mindset or create awareness? Because generally when you tell someone that it is a product made out of waste, how do they tend to react? Has this changed since the last 3 years that you are in business?
It is surely changing, but we still have a long way to go. In fact, people look at the product and they're like, wow, this is beautiful. And then I tell them, can you guess what it is made out of? And most of the cases, they can't, because looking at it, they really can't. Then I explain to them what is the waste and how it has been transformed to look like the way it does. So it's a 50-50 case. They're like, oh my God, this is a lot of effort. And they appreciate the value that is created. And at the same time, there's also a lot that says, oh, it's made from waste. Then why is it so expensive? So it's a combination. Because the moment people realize it's waste, oh, there's no value in it. So it's a slow mindset change. So some people appreciate it. Some people, okay, then put it back on the shelf. In fact, many people have suggested, why do you even tell them it's made from waste? It will sell more easily if you don't tell them. Whereas my entire purpose is very different. It's like to create awareness and get them to appreciate the value that can be created from waste. But yes, in the last 3 years, at least I don't have to tell people what upcycling is all about. Some awareness has already come in, and Bangalore that way is really in the forefront, I would say, when it comes to understanding and appreciating work that can be done from waste. Still, there's a long way to go.
I couldn't agree more on the point being Bangalore being a pioneer. Bangalore has been a pioneer in many spaces and many projects have been incubated here.
True.
But that is interesting. As long as there is no negative externality that is put to a product, per se, if you price a product an extra just because it is going to land in a landfill, then probably people will probably realize the actual price of it. That has been the same case with, say, carbon tax and so on.
True.
Now, coming back to the social side that you're addressing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about running the business? You spoke about women mothers who are part of your business, who create the products. So how did you set this up?
Well, to be very, very frank, when I started Reimagined, the focus was purely upcycling because it was more of the consumerism that I wanted to address through the upcycling model. But then when we thought of setting up production and scaling up the business and all that, it just seemed natural that when we are anyway having to do it and it is manual and labor intensive work, why not even address a social angle? So it was again a natural evolution of the business model, I would say. And so when we started this, so the first time I met these mothers, these women, they were a little skeptical, saying, why would somebody even talk of giving us a job and that too in these kind of conditions, and they feel we can do so much? Because it's a complete lack of confidence, self-confidence, I would say. So it was also slowly addressing that element of identity creation for these women. And so from employment to financial stability to improvement in quality of life to an identity creation to decision-making in the families, this is a change that I've seen amongst these women. And I think what is needed today, it's not just for Reimagine, I would say, for all enterprises who are into employment creation, I think the focus should be on inclusive growth where every member of the society gets to contribute or gets to earn a dignified, livable wage so that they can start making a social impact themselves. So this again has been an evolved foundation of the company, I would say.
That is well said. I mean, social inclusion is very key. Now, looking at the value chain of your business, in short, how do you say like where you get your materials from and how do you handle that on a day-to-day basis until it's finally a product? And I think you have an online store as well.
True.
So are there any retail stores that you're planning to set up?
So we work with both the types of waste, both the pre-consumer waste as well as the post-consumer waste. So pre-consumer waste is the waste that has not reached the end consumer. Say, for instance, there are some quality defects in a fabric which has been, so the factory cannot sell it. Or there are denims which have been on the retail shelves and they need to get discarded because they have not been sold over a period of time. So this is all pre-consumer waste. Majorly pre-consumer waste we have seen is all fabric and textile waste, sadly. And the post-consumer waste also is where people have no use for a particular product or it has broken down and they really don't know what to do with it. And now more and more people are getting aware about their impact if they just dump it. And so they reach out to me personally through our online page as well, saying, I have this to dispose of. Is there a way you can repurpose it? And many of them are in fact willing to buy it back once we give it a new lease of life in a different form. So we work with both types of waste. So when we talk about sourcing in Kolkata, where our first production unit is set up, so we source a lot of fabric waste, both used and unused. So people come and hand over their old saris, their kurtas, their bed sheets, curtain cloths, anything and everything. At the same time, we source all the denim from the waste aggregator in Kolkata, where he puts aside all the denim. So this is like the fag end of the supply chain, after which it gets shredded into rags. And trust me, these are all unused denim, which I feel is criminal to just shred it into rags and use it as a rag cloth when so much of resource has gone into even creating that pair of denim. So we pick it up from that last leg of the supply chain before it gets dumped or burnt. So that is the sourcing model of our waste. And even here in Bangalore, people connect with me saying, okay, I have this. Can you please make this product for me? So somebody had a broken stool and they said, I really don't know what to do with it. So I asked them, is it okay if I kind of give it a new look and make it again usable for you? And she loved the idea. So we made it for her and she took it back from us. Again, a lady wanted her memory quilt created from old fabrics because that's all the family members. So each one contributed their piece of clothing and we stitched it together and transformed it into a beautiful memory quilt. So all these models work together in terms of sourcing the waste. And of course, it goes through a very stringent quality check at every stage when we make the product. So right now, the range of products that we have include clothing, of course. And we have just experimented with a new range of saris from waste cotton yarn picked up from weavers. And we make fabric jewelry from scrap fabric. And we also make furniture from fabric ropes. And we also make furnishings like bed covers and all that. And we also make carpets from woolen yarn. So we are continuously experimenting and expanding the range. Right now, we sell it primarily through our online retail store. We had a store till recently in Indiranagar, but we had to close it down because of logistical issues. We are looking at also partnering with select retail stores across the country, where the audience that comes to these stores will appreciate these kind of products as well. So we are constantly on the lookout for partners to sell. At the same time, we are also looking for retail partners in the international market because there's a huge market and also an audience that appreciates this kind of transformational work.
You did speak about the challenges that you faced in the earlier part of setting the business. Now, as you move forward in scaling up the business, what are the challenges that you foresee? Because you're going to probably scale up across various cities. And what are the challenges that you see?
One biggest challenge for us is as we scale up, we also need to create a market. So it's not an existing market that we are tapping into. So even our scale up will be at a pace where we manage to sell the products as well. Because for our kind of model where we are also focusing on livelihood, only when we sell a product will we have the cash flows running. So the scale up also will be at a pace that can also help with the market creation. So we just can't scale up and sit on dead stock, unable to sell. That's not going to help anybody. At the same time, we need to continuously come up with new designs to even interest the market. Because people are now so used to fast fashion and 30% off, 40% off kind of market, constantly are looking out like, what is new now? So the churn of design has to be, again, as competitive in terms of variation and turnaround for us. So it's market creation, design innovation, and consistent sourcing of good quality waste. Say, for instance, what happened is when we first source our linen fabric waste from a retailer, he was more than happy to dump it on us because he's like, what is there in it? But then when we realized we actually transformed that into something beautiful and we are able to sell it, the next time we went to him, he just doubled the price saying, no, I can't give you at this price. So sourcing good quality waste also is a constraint and we're constantly looking for collaboration there. That is where big corporates can come in saying, we have this kind of waste which we are more than happy to hand it over to you because you know you deal with it responsibly. So that is one more area that needs to be worked on.
I like the way that you say you're looking for good quality waste. I'm pretty sure like there are a lot of people who definitely can't distinguish between a good quality waste and just normal trash. So as you rightly say, corporates have to come up in big numbers, especially like the denims. I mean, denims are like a global story for circular economy these days. They get mentioned in a lot of forums. Companies like Levi's come out and say that we are waterless denims and so we are very efficient and stuff like that. So I'm sure this market will kind of evolve.
True.
In one of the interviews that you kind of mentioned to a book, you'd mentioned that one of the things that is wasted is actually talent in India.
Yes.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes. So India has a very, very strong, informal, unorganized sector, which I feel is the backbone of our country. So even if you, what I'm talking about, upcycling and all, putting it in a nice, cool way, it already exists. And these are people who are already doing this because of their constraints. It's a constraint-based model that has helped our country evolve as well. So when I even talked about these women and when I just started the production unit, the key was, oh, they have no skill sets. But guess what? They all knew crochet. That is a skill set for which there is no value attached, right? And they realized their potential. I said, oh my God, you already know this? Why don't we experiment with this woolen yarn waste? They were like, seriously? I said, you already know crochet. So that is the skill set we are talking about. Nobody trained them, right? It has been handed over like generation after generation. When I look at the sari range that we have churned out, these are handloom weavers who have been weavers for generations again. That is a talent pool, which you won't find anywhere else in the world, right? But sadly, now with the machine looms and power looms coming in, they are struggling for livelihood. Now the requirement is, tap this talent pool and make it relevant in today's economy. And in the sari range now, I'm working with rural artisans who do beautiful hand painting. Now that is an art form that is fast dying away. Now we need to make it contemporary and make it relevant to today's market. This is a skill no other country in the world today has. You go to these tribal regions, you go to the villages and all, there's a huge talent pool which has not been acknowledged, and they are fading away because that is not supporting their survival. So the key is, tap this and make it relevant. And trust me, we will be slowly reviving all these art forms that people have forgotten over the years. This is something which is unique only to India today, which is what we are. It's like a gold mine that we are sitting on, I would say.
That is well put. Because as I read through the economic numbers and saying that there is a huge unemployment crisis and etc. So all this kind of goes unnoticed, the amount of talent that is hidden and the amount of talent that can be tapped to create new business models. So on a final note, if I had to ask you, what are the tips that you would probably give someone considering the space of upcycling and circular economy as a whole? Is it just emerging in a country like India? So I'm sure there are going to be a lot of companies who are going to come up in the space. So what are the key tips that you would give people in the space, like young entrepreneurs who would like to start up?
One is, it's very, very easy to dilute the focus because it's not an easy task. It's an uphill climb. But it takes a lot of perseverance not to compromise with the principle of upcycling, because it's easier for me if I would like pick up new fabric and say it's upcycled, people can't make out. It's not. But then do not compromise, just be at it. There is a market which will open up, and it's a huge market. So don't look at other companies as competition, because it's such a big crisis that we are solving here. So the more the number, the better it is for us to address the issue. So there is no competition. That's what people ask me, who is your competitor? I said, nobody's a competitor. If 10 people like me can come up and do the same stuff, we are in fact creating a bigger market together. So don't dilute your focus and don't lose your focus focusing on competition. Instead, collaboration is the key. Bring together like-minded people and grow together. That is when we can really make a dent. Otherwise, it's too big a crisis to solve at an individual level. One company can't change the world. It has to be thousands of reimagined coming together, I would say.
That's wonderful. I like the way you put it. Don't compromise on your principles and collaborate to create better values in the circular economy. So Shailaja, it's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know more about your company and the upcycling market in India. So wishing a lot of success for you in the future and look forward to future more interesting stories from you in the space. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Girish. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
So well, I'm pretty sure at the end of the episode, you're probably excited to know more about upcycling and get to know what are the products that are created. So don't forget to check the website of Shailaja Rangarajan's company Reimagined. It's in the show notes section of the podcast. If you have any interesting stories that you want to share your or share any experience of creating upcycled products, do write me an email, missionchunia@gmail.com. Or you can also tag us on an Instagram story or post on Facebook or Twitter. Go by the handle at @missionchunia. So now on to this week's action item towards Mission Chunia. Well, sticking with the theme of the episode, this week's action item is rather simple. Go ahead and buy a product that is upcycled. Go ahead and find out what are the products that are available and pick a product. I'm sure when you look up on the websites or visit a store, you'll probably realize or wouldn't probably realize that the product you've chosen was rather upcycled. It would look like a new product. You wouldn't find it to be created out of waste. So go ahead, make that purchase, and I'm sure you'll feel really good about it. So coming up next time on the podcast.
The day we finished the battery charge, we said, tomorrow let's drive it from Bangalore. So that's how it fell into place. There was no fixed date planned. First drive was between Bangalore to Chennai.
Syed Mubashir joins to share his experience of driving from Bangalore to Chennai in an electric car. And finally, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and subscribe. The podcast is now available on all major platforms like Apple Podcast, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Hubhopper, and many more. If you have liked the podcast so far, I hope you have given it a rating and wrote a review. Rating and reviews help in the discoverability of the podcast. You can also spread the word by sharing the podcast link to a friend or colleague. So until next time, if you have any interesting stories, you can always reach out to me on social media. Go by the handle at @missionchunia. So until next time, signing off. This is Mission Chunia, towards a zero carbon economy.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.